Hey Trojans, and welcome back to General Education. I'm your host, Kevin Gramling. It's Earth Month, so we'll be highlighting two important stories about sustainability at USC. In this episode, we're recapping a piece on the university's persisting lack of ethnic diversity among tenured faculty, as well as a sustainability town hall held Tuesday. Afterward, we chat with reporter Sparsh Sharma about his recent article on USC's fossil fuel divestment. Hey, we get it. You had a busy week. That's why we've got you covered with all of this week's latest highlights. Our first story, by Christina Shakarbol and Jenna Peterson, is about issues with diversity and equity in USC's faculty. USC's student body is far more diverse than its faculty. Despite investing millions in hiring and retaining more diverse faculty, a low turnover rate among tenured professors, who often get lifetime appointments, has stunted this progress. Tenure track faculty, who will become fully tenured maybe 10 to 20 years down the line, are much more diverse. There's also a gender pay gap among faculty, with men professors earning $30,000 more on average than women professors. Pay equity in higher education is a complicated issue, though, and aggregate data can be misleading. One challenge is that school titles can vary wildly, making it difficult to compare salaries. Some faculty have worked on salary benchmarking, comparing salaries for similar positions at other schools, and are pushing for more pay transparency from the university. Our second story, by Zachary Whalen, covers a sustainability town hall this past week. Students and faculty gathered on campus Tuesday to discuss the university's sustainability efforts. Six panelists, including Chief Sustainability Officer Mick Dalrymple and Associate Dean of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Lavanna Blair-Lewis, were there. They addressed student questions about the greatest obstacles to creating a sustainable campus. Dalrymple pointed to constraints in resources as the biggest obstacle to achieving sustainability. However, multiple initiatives offer different avenues. For example, USC's Sustainability Across the Curriculum Initiative, which encourages faculty participation by offering grants for teaching courses on sustainability. The Office of Sustainability is developing new projects to help decarbonize USC. Of the ongoing projects, one is adding more native plants to campus, which use up less water. However, some alumni and long-term faculty worry native plants will reduce the amount of greenery on campus. Joining us today for our interview is finance beat writer Sparsh Sharma. 2 years ago, USC made a public commitment to divest from fossil fuels. But since then, the USC community hadn't really heard much about progress on the promise. That is, until April 14th, where members of the Student Sustainability Committee met with the university's investment office. At this meeting, the university finally gave us some updates. Sharma went to that meeting, as well as interviewed other students there and members of USC's investing office. Thank you so much for coming in today. So let's just get right into it. In your article, you're tackling a topic many people might not be familiar with. How much of the topic did you know going into it?
When I first initially approached it, I actually knew very little, which is strange because the Daily Trojan has sort of reported on this quite extensively historically. But going back a decade, while I was doing my research for this article, I saw a letter to the editor that a group of students had put forward talking about the importance of fossil fuel divestment. So, you know, it stretches back a decade. Nonetheless, a lot has changed since then. There was a group called Divest SC that came in and successfully lobbied the USC institution to publicly commit to fossil fuel divestment. Then a lot of those students graduate. Such is the way that a lot of these student orgs operate, you know. Some of them have quite a short shelf life. And so we hadn't heard a peep from the institution since it had publicly committed to fossil fuel divestment back in 2021. I think this was early 2021 as well. So I had to do a lot of research, I suppose, because we haven't covered the topic in 2 years. But that being said, there was a lot to go off of from before that. So yeah, a lot of learning, a lot of research. It is also, I should say, a trend across universities. It's not just USC. So I had to get clued up on what other universities were doing, including what UC was doing, because their divestment process has been very different to the one that USC has partaken. And a lot of research.
Mm-hmm. That's really helpful. And it kind of answers my next question, which was, like, did you learn anything new that you didn't know about the process of divesting? we can get in more like specifics here then.
Yeah, I mean, first things first, it'll be useful to understand the definition of what divestment really is. Mm-hmm. And the basic idea is that a lot of these universities, institutions, whatever, have investment in fossil fuels. It's the nature of a carbon-based economy. But since the shift to sustainable fuels and sustainable energy, there has been a moral sort of fight, as well as now a sort of financial common sense decision to make in regards to these fossil fuels. So I learned what divestment really means, mm-hmm. first and foremost. I learned a lot about, strangely, a lot about the spirit of the school. The fact that even though a lot of those members from Divest SC have graduated, the new incoming student body were equally, if not more, strong in getting USC's word about what's going on with divestment. Mm-hmm. So I learned about a lot about the school spirit and some of the activism that is going on. I've also learned some of the pros and cons. There is a critique of fossil fuel divestment that goes around in terms of its effectiveness. People question whether it is effective because there are two sides. While divestment is selling off the existing investments in fossil fuels that an institution has, there has to be someone on the other side to buy it. And so I learned about those critiques and asked those questions to people who are probably more in the know than I am about what they thought of that. And they said, well, it's part of a larger movement and that's why it works. So yeah, I learned about the arguments on both sides while reporting on this.
So the students you decided to interview were really well-versed on the topic. Mm-hmm. How did you end up choosing them to interview?
It was quite a natural, easy process, really, deciding who to interview. Actually, what had happened was we wanted to cover fossil fuel divestment way earlier in the semester, back in January or February. That's when it appeared on the radar again. You know, and as a finance writer, I was naturally inclined to take up that article, but it got put on the back burner because there's been a bit of noise around finances of the university, you know, increase in tuition hikes and, you know, shrift and all sorts of things. And something else that we're releasing next week. But a natural opportunity opened up last Friday. See, while that article was put on the back burner, Student Sustainability Committee were on their own reaching out to USC and trying to get some FaceTime. And so it all came to a head last Friday. That's April the 14th, I think, where there was a Zoom meeting between USC's investment office and members from SSC. And they very openly discussed the numbers behind the process of divestment. And they very openly answered the questions from SSC. Now, I noticed who was asking the questions. I noticed who was taking a lead in those. And so after the meeting was concluded, I reached out to JJ Flores. I reached out to William Higby, as they were two key names. And there were others who were they put their hand up to interview as well. So if I had not got those specific people, there were more people waiting in line, ready to take an interview from me. So that was easy to take them as interview. What I thought would be harder was to take an interview from Amy Diamond, the mm-hmm. chief investment officer. But even that turned out quite easy. Oddly enough for USC. So yeah, it was relatively quick.
Why do you think it's important for students to know about this topic?
Well, it's a big trend across universities. It's hard to ignore it, really. And it's useful. I mean, everyone talks about ESG, don't they? At least if you're in the finance world, you talk about ESG. If you're not in the finance world, you're going to hear about climate change. You're going to hear about sustainability efforts. And especially a space like USC, you're going to hear a lot about it. So fossil fuel divestment is where the two sort of marry together in many ways. One of the interesting things that William Higby said was people will probably switch to the sustainable choice when it becomes economically viable. And fossil fuel divestment is a process in which they are trying to make the sustainable option an economically viable one as well. So I guess that's why it's important.
Moving forward, what can we expect to see on this topic?
So what I heard from Amy Diamond was that the majority of divestment will take place in a much shorter time span than 10 years. They're never committed to saying it will take shorter than 10 years, but they have to do it within 10 because it's a sort of like a legally binding contract in some ways. I don't know the full specifics because a lot of investment jargon was in that interview, but essentially it's a maximum of 10 years, probably going to be a shorter process. And the reason for that is that there are two big investments in fossil fuels that USC has held on for years. One of them for 15 years, I believe, and another one for a slightly shorter period, but still a matter of years. when those are sold off, divestment will have been, well, the majority of divestment will have been done for USC. So yeah, a lot shorter than 10 years, I think.
Again, that was Sparsh Sharma, our financial beat writer. This episode of General Education was hosted by Kevin Gramling. Written by Kevin Gramling, Isabella Zhang, Shaza Fadul, Grace Ingram, and Christina Shakarbal. Edited by Kevin Gramling. Produced by Grace Ingram and Christina Shakarbal. General Education is one of three shows on the Daily Trojan Podcast Network. You can find more episodes anywhere you listen to podcasts, as well as our website, dailytrojan.com. Visit the episode description for our links and more information.